Hello, and Happy New Year. This is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 31st, 2025. We begin on the front page from the Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services. With New Year comes new pharmacy in Gibson City. It will have drive-through windows, lockers for after-hour pickups, plus a specialty pharmacy. Gibson City. Not only is the new Gibson Family Pharmacy about twice as large as the current one downtown, it also features additional conveniences, including more parking, a drive-through window, and lockers outside for after-hours pickup. Perhaps the most important, the most notable improvement, though, is the specialty pharmacy that is part of the newly built pharmacy building located on East First Street in Gibson City, just across Wood Street to the east of the county market. Separate from the retail pharmacy side of the building, the specialty pharmacy will be the first in Ford County. That absolutely was a huge need for the area, and it's going to be a great service that we can provide here now, said Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services Chief Executive Rob Schmidt. Right now, people have to get their specialty drugs from out of town, from sometimes unreliable pharmacies, but we're going to have that available right here. The $5 million new pharmacy, here's the same official name, Gibson Family Pharmacy, a member of the medicine shop family, as the current one at 104 North Sangamon Avenue. GAHHS has owned the Medicine Shop branded retail pharmacy downtown for more than 5 years, but has outgrown the space, prompting the construction of the new 5,000 square foot pharmacy across town. Our retail pharmacy downtown is too small, Schmidt said, and it's not really in a great location for cars getting in and out. Parking is always a problem downtown on that corner there at Sangamon Avenue and 8th Street. After GAHHS purchased an empty lot on East 1st Street last year, building a new pharmacy there was the first thing on the list of options, Schmidt said. According to Schmidt, GAHHS officials earlier had considered buying the former Busey Bank building at 402 North Sangamon Avenue, hoping to utilize its existing drive-through, but that building was going to be a lot of work to make into a pharmacy, they realized. So we thought, if we're going to spend that kind of money, we might as well just build a new building and have it be just what we want it to be. Using financing from the Heartland Bank in combination with funds from GAHHS and the Gibson Area Hospital Foundation, construction on the new pharmacy began last spring with P.J. Hoare Incorporated as the project's general contractor. They're the general contractor for most of our projects now, Schmidt said. We've had a partnership with them for a long time. They do a great job for us. Construction was completed earlier this month. While no opening date has been seen as yet as of Friday, Schmidt was expecting to be able to announce one soon. The only thing we're waiting on now is the State Board of Pharmacy has to come and officially survey the site and sign off on it, Schmidt said. We've been in contact with them. We filled out all the paperwork. We're just trying to get a date on the calendar for them to come in and sign off on it. It should be fairly soon. Once that happens, the downtown pharmacy will close with its drugs moved to the new location. We'll probably have to be closed for a day for the move, and then we'll be rocking and rolling in the new pharmacy, Schmidt said. Like the downtown pharmacy, the new pharmacy will be open 7 days a week and deliver to customers around the Gibson City area. The new pharmacy staff of 10, which includes an expanded number of pharmacy technicians and pharmacists, is already in place, Schmidt noted. Schmidt said he is excited to see the new pharmacy opening and hopes customers are too. It's got the great drive-through, and we're going to have a specialty pharmacy there as well as a retail pharmacy. We're going to do some basic compounding. I remember Paxton used to have a compounding pharmacy, and that went away. We're going to be able to do some of that again here in Gibson. And then, the other really nice feature, in addition to the drive-through, is we're going to have lockers on the outside of the building, so you'll be able to pick up your prescription after hours if you can't get to the pharmacy for some reason. You'll get texted a code in what locker your drugs are in, and you'll be able to just drive by at 9 o'clock at night and pick them up and drive away. A lot of our staff at the hospital are happy about that because they don't get off work until 7 p.m. and the pharmacy closes at 6. As the regulations require, Schmidt noted, the specialty pharmacy and retail pharmacy will be in separate spaces with separate entrances. Even though they're in the same building, there's a wall separating them, and there's a door for each one, Schmidt said. So if you go in one side, you're in the retail pharmacy, but if you go in the other, you're in the specialty pharmacy. The downtown pharmacy building, meanwhile, will continue to be utilized by GAHHS only for a different, yet-to-be-determined purpose. We've kicked around a lot of ideas there, Schmidt said. It'll still probably be healthcare of some kind, but we don't have any final decisions yet on it. But we will use that building. We're not going to sell it, and it's going to not sit empty. We'll have something there in downtown. GAHHS also will have a decision to make on the future of two additional empty lots it owns in the east of the new pharmacy. Schmidt said GAHHS is considering building on the two lots or instead selling them to a developer. There's two more spots there where you could build essentially two more similar-sized building as our pharmacy and have something else there, Schmidt said. A lot of people kid me, and they're like, yeah, you need to put a Taco Bell in there. And I'm like, I don't need to do that, but somebody could, I guess. We've already sized the sewer, the sanitation, the water, and the power to handle two more buildings. We don't know if we might do something there or if somebody else has an idea of what could go there. But there's two more retail spots there. We own all of that property. GAHHS is already building another facility, this one totaling about 12,000 square feet at a cost of about $12 million around that same area. We just broke ground on a new endoscopy center behind the pharmacy, Schmidt said. If you drive out there today behind the pharmacy, you'll see a bunch of ground moved and a big base of rock that's just started last week that hopefully will be finished by the end of 2026. Back on the front page, we have from the Ford County Courts, non-compliant sex offender sent to prison. Roberts man, who is 31, resentenced for after violating terms of probation. Paxton. A Roberts man on probation for failure to register as a sex offender was resentenced to 4 years in state prison on Tuesday, December 23rd, after having violated the terms of his probation. Ford County Circuit Judge Matt Fitton imposed the sentence in the Illinois Department of Corrections on Edgar D. Hubner, Jr., 31, after a petition to revoke his probation was filed by State's Attorney Andrew Killian. The state filed a petition to revoke probation, alleging multiple violation of his probation conditions, Killian said in a news release. Hubner admitted to three violations, failing to report to probation on two occasions and failing to engage with mental health services. Hubner was originally charged in May 2023 with violating the Sex Offender Registrations Act, a Class II felony, for his failure to register a change in his home address within the legally required 3-day window. Hubner pleaded guilty in September 2023 and was sentenced to 4 years of probation. It was Hubner's second conviction for failing to register as a sex offender, Killian said. According to the online Illinois State Police Offender Registry, Hubner has been required to register as a sex offender for more than 10 years, ever since he was convicted of criminal sexual abuse of a minor. He was 21 at the time of the crime, while his victim was 15. At his December 23rd resentencing hearing, Hubner had faced a potential sentence of up to 7 years in prison. Killian recommended a 6-year term, while defense attorney Edward Johnson requested an extended probation term instead. Hubner will receive credit on his 4-year prison term for the 121 days he has already served in the Ford County Jail in Paxton. The Sex Offender Registration Act serves as a critical public safety function by ensuring law enforcement and communities have accurate information about sex offenders, Killian said. When offenders repeatedly fail to comply with registration requirements, incarceration becomes necessary to protect the public, deter others from failing to register, and enforce the law. Inside the paper, we have a very short item, again from the Gibson Area Hospital. Gibson Area Hospital adds 2 new clinics to roster. Gibson City. Southern Ford County residents will soon have 2 additional clinics in the area in January, both at the same address. The Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services announced Friday morning that Gibson City will have an obstetrics and gynecology clinic and a weekend clinic at 201 East 8th Street. The weekend office will be open on January 3, 2026, and be open from 8 a.m. to noon on Saturdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays. Amanda Buckner, an advanced practice registered nurse and certified family nurse practitioner, will expand GAHHS's availability. The OBGYN office will open on January 5th and be open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Monday through Thursday. The provider is closed daily from noon to 1 p.m. Yvonne Torres specializes in OBGYN, women's health, maternity care, sexual health, and menopausal health, including hormonal replacement therapy, fertility, abnormal uterine bleeding, and pelvic pain. On the front page from the Ford County Republican Central Committee, meet the candidates. Meet and greet sponsored by Ford County Republicans set for January 24th in Paxton. Paxton. Candidates vying for the Republican Party's nomination for local, statewide, and national offices in the March 17th primary election, including 3 candidates for Illinois governor, are expected to be in Paxton on Saturday, January 24th, for a meet-and-greet event at the Pueblo Lindo Mexican Restaurant. Sponsored by the Ford County Republican Central Committee, the free event runs from 1 to 3 p.m., with doors opening at 12:30 p.m. It includes a chance for the area's voters to meet and mingle with candidates who will be formally introduced around 1:15 p.m. by committee's chairman, Jeff Orr of Piper City, before each gives brief remarks about their respective campaigns. Expected to take part are gubernatorial candidates Ted Dabrowski, Darren Bailey, and Jim Mendrick, Illinois Attorney General candidate Bob Fioretti, Illinois Secretary of State candidate Diane Harris, U.S. Senate candidate Don Tracy, Ford County Clerk and Recorder Amy Frederick, and her lone challenger for the position, Kelsey Vaughn, unopposed Ford County Treasurer candidate Taylor Bennett, State Senators Chris Balkema and Chapin Rose, State Representative Jason Bunting and Jake Ford, Political Director for U.S. Representative Darren LaHood. Also expected to be there are Ford County Board members and Republican Precinct Committeemen. We'll give them a chance to say a few words like, who are they, why are they running, and what do they want to change, said Republican Precinct Committeeman Tom Bennett, a retired state senator from Gibson City. Due to time constraints, he said, we'll hit those very basic things. They're not going to be able to have long, drawn-out conversations with Bennett, with voters, Bennett said, but voters are going to get to meet them. This gives people a chance to know who are these guys and do some more research on them on their own. Bennett said candidates will be asked to keep their messages positive and about themselves, not their opponents. We'll set out our ground rules. Talk about yourself. Don't talk about how bad somebody else is, Bennett said. We don't have time for that. The restaurant is at 615 North Railroad Avenue. Complimentary finger foods and refreshments will be available. No reservations are required, although Bennett said RSVPs are being encouraged and can be arranged via a QR code that appears on the event's promotional flyers to help get an anticipated headcount. Bennett is hoping for a good turnout. This is a very important time for our state and really for our country as well, Bennett said. Elections are important. People need to get out and understand who the candidates are. It's a learning process. Bennett said the Ford County Republican Central Committee, which is renting the restaurant's banquet room for the event, is working hard to get the word out to the public. We're trying to send the flyer promoting the event to about every Republican in Ford County, Bennett said, noting the number to be mailed totals around 3,600. We're trying to get the word out every way we can. We're using radio advertising. We want to use the newspaper, electronic media, and we also want to use flyers, and we'll do some handshaking and that kind of thing with voters face to face. If the turnout comes close to the estimated 150 attendees for the GOP's last candidate meet and greet in Ford County, Bennett would be pleased, he said. If we get more than that, I'd love it, he said. This is a chance for people to really come together to learn about their candidates. Event sponsorships are available, Bennett noted, at sponsorship levels of $450, $300, and $150. Checks should be made out to the Ford County Republican Central Committee and mailed to P.O. Box 218, Paxton, Illinois 60957. For more information, people can call Bennett at 217-649-3250. Turn to the inside of the paper and find from Ford County, or from Iroquois County, excuse me, tornadoes confirmed in area. Clifton. The Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency worked with a damage survey team from the National Weather Service to identify areas of damage following four separate tornado warnings issued in the county on Sunday, December 28th. According to a news release from the EMA, four separate rotational tracks were recorded by radar Sunday, and within those tracks, tornadoes were confirmed. The tornadoes were an EF0 tornado northeast of Clifton, an EF0 tornado from Clifton to St. Anne, and an EFU tornado around Martinton. A fourth rotational track was also identified from the Stockland area into Indiana, but no damage or visual confirmation of a tornado could be confirmed. No injuries were reported with any of these weather-related incidents, Scott Anderson, coordinator of the EMA, said. No residential structures were destroyed, but one home was significantly damaged, and family relocated the resident to a hotel until repairs could begin. At least six outbuildings were identified as significantly damaged or destroyed within the areas of this report. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 31st. Marge Bjarnson Roberts. Marjorie Jane Marge Thomas Bjarnson, 73, formerly of Roberts, passed away on Sunday, December 21st, with her sons, Chase and Hunter, by her side, after a courageous battle with cancer. In lieu of a traditional visitation and funeral, the family will hold a private graveside services. memorials may be made to the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. James R. Colbert, Paxton. James R. Jim Colbert, 77, of Paxton, formerly of Clarksville, Arkansas, died Saturday, December 27th at Carl Broman Medical Center in Normal. A private graveside service will take place at Glen Cemetery in Paxton at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Evangelical Covenant Church in Paxton. Patty J. DeHeer, Paxton. Patty J. Pat DeHeer, 89, of Paxton, died at 5:04 p.m. Thursday, December 25th at the Gilman Healthcare Center, Healthcare in Gilman. Funeral services were held Thursday, December 30th at the Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton with the Reverend Pat Allen officiating. Burial followed in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Judy Lynn Watson, Paxton. Judy Lynn Baker Watson, 82, of Paxton, passed away peacefully at home on Saturday, December 27, surrounded by her family. Judy decided at the end that she did not want any services for her final trip to heaven. Specifically, she wanted a party to celebrate her life on earth. This celebration is to be announced at a later date. Memorials may be made to Transitions Hospice. And that was basically all of the local news in this week's paper, so we're going to go to the sports section and give you the 10 top sports stories of 2025. In number 10, GCMS football wins the division title. The Gibson City Melvin Sibley varsity football team went 8-3 in the 2025 season, and with a 55-27 win in the regular season finale over Ridgeview Lexington, GCMS claimed the outright championship in the heart of Central Illinois Conference's medium division. Number 9, Meddling Grappler. Gibson City Melvin Sibley Fisher High School wrestler Landon Lage earned a fifth-place finish in the 126 bracket during last February's IHSA Class 1A meet. In number 8, Meddling Debut. Not many athletes go from rookie to All-State in 3 months. It does not happen often, but then there is Keegan DeWall. While the Gibson City Melvin Sibley senior is not new to distance running, but he is to a cross-country newbie. That fact did not stop him from piling up the honors this year, which concluded with him running a time of 15 minutes 5.9 seconds in the state finals to take 17th at the IHSA Class 1A state meet last November. By doing so, he becomes the first all-state cross-country runner in Gibson City Melvin Sibley Falcons history. Number 7. New ADs Hired. On Wednesday, February 12th, Paxton Buckley Lota School District approved the hiring of Bruce Wachowski as high school's athletic director, effective at the start of the 2025-2026 school year. And the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Board approved the hiring of Michael Schwenk at GCMS High School's next assistant principal and athletic director on Wednesday, January 29th. Number 6, coaching changes. The hiring of Caleb Aldridge as the head coach of Fisher Gibson City Melvin Sibley High School soccer team was announced via the Fisher Bunnies athletic page on X, a social media website formerly known as Twitter, on Monday, July 21st. And Sandy Ellis was hired as the head coach of the Paxton Buckley Lota cross-country program in mid-July, filling a vacancy created by last June's resignation of Dustin Franke from the position. In fifth spot, Bird's medal in state track meet. Evan Landers Christensen was on a medal run. So was his pal Reed Tompkins, who is also a member of the class of 2027. Both competed in the Illinois High School Association Class 1A State Championships last May. Both were very successful. Landers Christensen was awarded the second place medal for his performance in the 400-meter dash, and a short time later, Tompkins secured third place in 300-meter hurdles. In fourth place, GCMS teams win regional titles. The Gibson City Melvin Sibley boys basketball team won its first regional title since 2019. Falcons clinched the regional title with a 51-42 win over Lexington in the IHSA Class 1A Milford Regional Championship game on February 28th, before winning 69-39 in the Colfax Regional Sectional Semifinals. The Gibson City Melvin Sibley varsity baseball team, it was the same song, but in a different verse. The Falcons won an IHSA Class 1A regional championship for the second year in a row. Position number three, third's the word. T-Wolves placed third at state championship. There are only two teams in the Illinois High School Association Class 1A playoffs that finished the year with a win. Count the Cisna Park Lady Timberwolves among the fortunate, with a 50-44 victory over Elgin-based private school St. Edward. The Lady Timberwolves claimed third in the state in the late morning hours of Friday, and it was the first state trophy the Lady T-Wolves have earned in girls basketball. In number two, we have league champs. The Buckley Dutch Masters made history last August. With a two-game sweep of the Royal Giants, the Dutch Masters won at the Eastern Illinois Baseball League tournament for the fourth year in a row. They are the first team to win four consecutive tournament titles since the Giants did it in 1967-70. And the number one sports story of the year for the Ord County Chronicle, state champs. Cisna Park Volleyball, GCMS Fisher Middle School Wrestling, PBL Special Olympics Basketball win state titles. The third time was the charm for the Cisna Park High School Volleyball team. In their third straight trip to the IHSA Class 1A State Final Tournament, the Timberwolves took first place via a 25-11, 25-14 win over Stockton in November. Nine seniors helped Cisna Park get to the Final Four in each of the last 3 years, including Illinois Volleyball Coaches Association first-teamer Addison Light and second-teamers Sophie Dewis and Josie Newcomb. And the Gibson City Melvin Sibley Fisher Middle School wrestling team won the IESA State Class A meet on Saturday. The Falcons scored a 152.5 as a team, while Cole City and Stanford Olympia finished second and third, respectively, in Class A, with scores of 118 and 104.5. And the Paxton Buckley Lotus Special Olympics Basketball A team won a state championship last March. PBL won 48-39 over the JC High Flyers and 53-44 over the Black Crusaders. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.